Turn with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, we're going to read the entire psalm, my text, this morning as we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. It is the first part of verse 5. The Word of God at Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My text then is the first part of verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, as thou didst prepare a table before thy servant in Psalm 23, in the presence of his enemies, so also prepare us a table in the presence of our enemies. And may our partaking of the sacrament, the refreshment that we enjoy, and thy grace worked in us through the sacrament, may we leave this table equipped to face those enemies before whom the table has been prepared. Forgive our sins and look down upon us in mercy for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalm 23, the Shepherd Psalm, the Psalm of David, who knew what it was to be a shepherd. That's what David had been before God called him to be the next king in Israel. David's being a shepherd was his seminary training. In the years that he tended his father's sheep, he learned a great deal about handling physical sheep. The people of God, resembling those sheep spiritually. The psalm is the psalm first learned by the people of God, often before the little children even begin their formal education in our Christian schools. And time after time, I have witnessed the psalm on the lips of those aged and dying saints of God as they are about to leave this earth behind in their last walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The Lord is my shepherd. That speaks of God's love and of His care for His people. That the Lord is our shepherd also speaks of ownership. We belong to God according to His election of grace. Therefore, I shall not want. That's the outcome. The bountiful provision bestowed on us to supply absolutely all of our needs. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. Peaceful, undisturbed rest. Rest from all of the troubles, all of the trials, all of the temptations that beset us in our life in the world. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's refreshment, needed refreshment to sustain us in our pilgrim's journey through this waste, howling wilderness. He leads us beside the still waters. He restores my soul. That's healing. That's restoration. The healing of every wound, every hurt, every disappointment, every sorrow, every persecution. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, the paths of God, God's righteousness, the shepherd's guidance of us in the right way, in which way there is deliverance from all of the enemies. For His name's sake, the psalmist adds. That's the purpose of it all. The grand purpose of the shepherd's care of his sheep does not end in those sheep, but in the glory of His name. The leading of us, but the leading of us for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's our present existence. The psalmist isn't talking about at the very end of our lives when we walk through that deep and dark valley. That's a part of it, but it's only a part of it. All our life, every moment of our earthly life is spent in the valley with death's shadow cast over the entire valley. He's with us in the valley. And therefore I will fear no evil. No evil in the valley. That's confidence. Unwavering confidence in the power of God's grace, not only to bring us to salvation, but to keep us in our salvation. For Thou art with me. With us in the valley, with us when the troubles and sorrows of earthly life are about to overwhelm us, with us. That's faithfulness. That's friendship. The friend who will never leave us. That's the assurance of our final preservation. thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's defense against the enemies and his care of the sheep against themselves and their own wanderings. The rod and staff are really two different instruments that shepherds wore or carried with them. The rod is a club, really. A club to drive away the wild animals who were ready to prey on the unsuspecting sheep. But then besides that rod to beat back the enemies, that shepherd's staff with its crook on the top to bring back the sheep that is straying. And then that table prepared in the presence of mine enemies. That's provision. Abundant provision. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's blessing. The blessing especially of the Holy Spirit who sanctifies us and renews us. And my cup runneth over. That's abundance. More than my need. Every blessing of salvation. And surely thy goodness and thy mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's hope. Hope especially for the future as the psalmist looks to the end of his earthly sojourn. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the great goal. Our fellowship with God in His house, in heaven, unending fellowship, unbreakable fellowship forever. That's eternity. And that's where Jehovah's care finally leads us, to eternity. And a foretaste of it all we have this morning in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Most commentators suggest that when we come to the fifth and sixth verses of Psalm 23, the figure changes. We're not talking any longer about a shepherd and his sheep and the care and protection of the sheep. But now, God is presented to us as the one who cares for human beings, preparing a table for them. Not pasture, not beside still waters, as He did the sheep. But now we have a table prepared with the best of food. I'm inclined to think, however, that in fact the figure does not change. Not substantially. And I'm inclined to understand the psalm in this way, that in the first part of the psalm, the shepherd's care of his sheep is on the foreground. But now at the end of the day, when he drives his sheep back to the home place and the protection of the pen that he has for the sheep, the shepherd goes into his tent or into his home, now to eat and drink with his own family, his wife, and his children. Now after a hard day's work tending his sheep, he is able to enjoy food and fellowship with the ones whom he loves. These words have an obvious application to the Lord's Supper. The preparation of a table, the text speaks of, that certainly reminds us of the Lord's Supper, a table on which a lavish meal has been prepared and set out. So it is with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The apostle in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 21 warns us against being, attempting to be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. In the sacrament, God makes abundant provision for us. In the sacrament, he testifies to us that he loves us and cares for us. In the sacrament, he makes provision for us. And when we partake worthily, we partake of the sacrament in such a way that by that bountiful provision of God, we're strengthened to go forth to carry out the demands of our calling in the week that is ahead. A table prepared. Let's notice an abundant provision, a divine preparation, and our grateful partaking. The text speaks of a table that is set before the child of God, and on which there is set food. A meal has been prepared. Food for his nourishment. Food for the shepherd who has expended himself the entire day in the care of his sheep. We mustn't think so much of a table, the kind of table at which you will sit this afternoon to eat your dinner, not that, but a table that was either a blanket of some sort on the ground, or if it was a structure that was built just off the ground, around which those who partook laid out on their own blankets with their heads and arms all facing inward around that table. On this table, food has been set. The table before us this morning is not, first of all, a table with physical food on it, though the elements of the sacrament are physical elements, elements from our experience, the wine and the bread. But what is set on the table, more importantly, is the spiritual food, the food for our souls, the food that God has prepared to nourish us up to life everlasting, strength to carry on in the particular offices in which Christ has set us, whether as mother in the home, father provider for his family, young person at university or on the job site, whatever may be the case. This is the food that nourishes us up so that we are able to continue, able to carry out our calling before God. The food on this table is a spiritual food. It's the food of the forgiveness of your sins. It's the food of holiness, sanctification, the doing of God's will. It's the food that strengthens us so that we may face the enemies of whom the passage speaks. It's food to strengthen us as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And if we do not get that food, if that's not the result of our partaking of the supper this morning, then we will not be able to face the enemies, but will be overcome by the enemies. We will not be able to carry on tomorrow morning in the demands of our earthly calling, but those demands will overwhelm us. This is the food to nourish us up to life everlasting. And it is an abundant meal. It isn't just a few crumbs of bread and maybe a sip or two of water, but a lavish meal, abundance of food and drink, more than sufficient to nourish us spiritually. And that's surprising. That's quite unexpected. Quite unexpected because of the enemies who are hunting us and who are determined to destroy us. But God, the sovereign God who controls the enemies too, has prepared for us this table. This is what we find for ourselves this morning. A table prepared. A table prepared. It's obvious from what the text goes on to say that there is abundance to be enjoyed at this meal. For in connection with the meal itself, he talks about the being anointed with the oil of gladness. The oil in the Old Testament being a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's a feast, a lavish feast. The meal of salvation spread before us in the gospel is not meager, but is sufficient both for the covering of our sins and for holiness to go forward in the strength of grace, facing the enemies, continuing our pilgrimage through the valley of the shadow of death. From this table now, we are called to eat. The table that has been prepared for us in the presence of our enemies is not a table at which we must look. Simply set our eyes upon and expect in some strange and miraculous way that simply looking at what's on the table, we're going to be strengthened. That's not God's way. God's way is that we partake. God's way is that we eat. And God's way is that we drink. The table which is prepared has that positive purpose in view for us. For us. The table that the Lord prepares here is not a table for everyone, nor may everyone come to this table and enjoy what's on the table. The table has been prepared for the shepherd and for the members of the family of the shepherd. There are enemies out there who have no place at the table, no right to partake of the elements that are spread on this table, no right to partake for the nourishment of their souls. But the shepherd and those who are connected to the shepherd, which connection is faith. The Lord's Supper is not a meal that you might get from a fast food restaurant, into which everyone is invited. Everyone, no matter who they are, may come and partake. But this is a meal in the shepherd's home or tent. Only the shepherd himself and the members of his family, or the guests whom he might welcome as guests into the tent in order also to partake with the family, but no one else. It's not a table that has been prepared for everybody. And it is God himself who has prepared the table. Thou preparest a table before me. The divine preparation. The preparation of this table is a divine preparation inasmuch as it originates in the will and mind of God. God has determined to prepare this table, and God has done everything necessary in the preparation of the table. God's determination in his own eternal counsel is what stands behind the table that we see this morning. God's determination that we will be, you will be, I will be one of his children. God's determination that as his children, fallen and sinful, we will be redeemed in the blood of his Son. God's preparation of the table in working by his Holy Spirit actually to draw us this morning to the table so that we may partake. The table is prepared. That doesn't mean simply that the plates have been set out. The silverware alongside the plates, the glasses, the napkins, all of that, that's not the preparation of the table that the psalmist is speaking about. The preparation for the table is the food that's on the table. That food has been prepared. Everything necessary to be done so that the food is on the table has been done by Jehovah God himself. What a preparation for that table. The preparation of the sending of his own Son to die for us, that his body would be broken and His blood would be shed. A preparation for the redemption of us from our sins and of our children as well. A preparation that does not only end in the table this morning, but that continues all our life long until we have no need any longer of a table and food prepared for us and placed on the table. But we will enjoy the reality, the blessed reality of the banquet feast of the Lamb and of His bride. At this table, we partake. We come to this table eagerly and willingly. We come to the table with an appetite for that which has been placed on the table. An appetite for the forgiveness of our sins, our justification through faith in Jesus Christ. An appetite for the grace to fight against our sins, no matter how great those sins may be. With an appetite to enjoy fellowship not only with God in Christ, but fellowship with one another at this table. God hasn't prepared this table merely for us to look at and to admire. Obviously, He has spread the table before us so that we will eat and so that we will drink. Has spread the table before us with the obvious purpose that we will enjoy the food that has been set on the table. But then for the enjoyment of that food, it is necessary for us to eat and necessary for us to drink. That's faith. We partake this morning by faith. The faith that lays hold on the redemption from sin that is in Jesus Christ, whose body was broken, whose blood was shed. The partaking by faith so that we're strengthened to face the enemies this week. Our own besetting sins. Whatever temptations the devil may bring our way, whatever sorrows he may afflict us with, we prepare ourselves for whatever it may be by eating and by drinking this morning. Partaking by faith, we leave the table satisfied. We leave the table faith strengthened. We leave the table in the confidence that we can go forward in our pilgrim's journey this coming week, that God, by His rod and by His staff, will go with us. The enemies are there. The enemies remain. But notwithstanding those enemies, they're raging against us. Their warfare directed at us. The temptations with which they beset us, we're able to stand We're able to stand in the strength that we receive from the supper, confirmed by the word that is preached. Therefore, our partaking this morning is a joyful and a grateful partaking. We partake eagerly. We don't despise or disparage the provision that God has made for us. That would be the height of contempt. But we partake joyfully and thankfully, for this is God's gracious provision for us in the valley. Amen.